Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
Ephesians this morning, studying the will of God for your life. Now let's just for a moment understand something about, quote, the will. There's your own personal will, human will, amen. There is God's will. Then there's the will of your adversary, which is to steal, kill, and destroy. But you must understand that your resistance against the devil within the confines of the will of God for your life maximizes the authority of God in putting the devil in his place. That's why it's important for you to live in the will of God so that when you say no to the devil, it's a no. Amen? So that when you say no, devil, in the name of Jesus, the devil can't do anything. Amen? God has created that or has put that into his will or into the path of righteousness that each and every one of us walk. Now, we must understand something about the human will. A lot of times I think people come to the conclusion of, well, you know, I really don't want to go through all the hassle of finding the will of God. And I don't want the will of the devil. So I think I'll just be my own person. You know, I don't want God, I don't want the devil, I don't want none of that. So I'm just going to go out and do my own thing. Well, that'd be fine if your own thing was available for you to do. But your human will is intertwined with the will of the devil for your life. Let me say that again. Your human will. Now, a lot of times we think, well, you know, yeah, like if you get on drugs. No, I'm talking about there's people that resist the will of God. And instead of going into the ministry, they go into business. Instead of going into business, they go into the ministry. That's the worst. Amen. And there's a lot of people that just presuppose they think they know what it is, when in reality they don't. And they end up not only hurting themselves, but hurting a lot of other people. Amen? So understand, if you really want to live a life of peace and joy on the earth, then literally segregate and divorce yourself from any human will and any demonic will. And make the will of God your primary, what you primarily search for. Not only just search for it, but implement it. Because there's two components to that. We'll study that in the future. Of what you find the will of God, now what you're going to do. Amen. I remember one time, Lee and I were believing God for a house, and the Lord showed me this particular house. And he said, now that's your house. And I thought, okay. I don't have any money. But it was the will of God. Now listen to me. It was the will of God for us to have that house. So we applied our faith to it in the confines of the will of God for our life, walking that path of righteousness. Well, end of the story, we got the house. Great blessing to us. An impossibility according to the real estate agents, but a blessing to us. Why? Because it was the will of God. Amen? Now, let me read a scripture before I get ahead of myself here. Ephesians, make sure I get all this stuff in my... Trying to be a good preacher and preach off notes. You know how that works. It's hard to do these Ephesians scriptures. Look at verse 7. Let's just start there so I don't run off preaching something else. In whom we have redemption, everybody say redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us, in all wisdom and prudence. Now notice this. Having made known unto us the mystery. Now here it is. Of his will. Everybody say his will. Now, for much of the earth, for 4,000 years of the earth's existence, the will of God was a mystery. Not only to the world itself, but also to God's chosen servants, the nation of Israel. Amen. Now, let me just say this. This might help some of you that were raised around this type of teaching. The signs of the last days, the signs of the end times are exclamated by the creation of the nation of Israel in 1948. That one singular event removed an entire strata of doctrine out of the church called replacement theology, that the church is on the earth to replace the nation of Israel. Well, that's not true, or else there wouldn't be a nation of Israel. But God did what He said He would do, according to Scripture, that a nation would be born in a day. Actually, it was 11 minutes from the time Ben Gurion went to the place to make the announcements. 11 minutes later, President Harry Truman recognized Israel as a nation, and Israel became a nation. You say, well, why are you saying that? Because it was in the will of God. That was in the will of God. Jesus coming to the earth, that was in the will of God. The second coming is the will of God. The rapture is the will of God. Are you with me? So for years and decades and centuries, it was what? A mystery. Salvation was the greatest mystery. How's this going to work? I mean, for centuries, Israel would kill spotless lambs and shed gallons of blood, just vats of blood. Lay hands on the scapegoat, send them out into the desert bearing the sins of the people. How could they equate that with saying a prayer of salvation? How could they do that? It was a mystery to them. There were a few, I believe there were two men especially, that enjoyed a type of new covenant relationship with God, and that was Moses and David. Those two right there. Even though Elijah was highly anointed, and even though Enoch walked with God and was no more, I believe that in their lifetime, both Moses and David found mercy and grace in the eyes of God and were able to fulfill the will of God in their lives by that mercy and grace. Amen? So, number one, knowing the will of God begins with the removal of this mystery. That's why you come to Island Church. When you come to Island Church, we unveil the mystery. Amen? That a man or a woman on the earth born into the human family can be born again by the Spirit of God and exit the human family with all of its trauma and enter into God's family and live in the peace and joy of God's family on the earth in the midst of the most trying times the earth has ever seen. Amen? So the mystery of salvation has been removed. The Bible says that the angels desired to look into it and couldn't do it. So how valuable is this to God? But then that gets broken down as we begin to fulfill what I call the generic will of God for all of us. Number one, it's the will of God that you be saved. If you're praying over somebody now for salvation, first of all, understand how to pray. Pray laborers across their path. Amen. Break the power of the devil over their life. If they're on drugs or alcohol, just break it. Say, in the name of Jesus, I break that power. Pray for them. Amen. But also pray that they would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the mystery would be removed. How many people would get saved right now if they knew how? We got churches all over this island right now. People are trying to figure out how to get saved. Maybe it's by this doctrine, or maybe by that doctrine, or this denomination, or this belief, or that belief, or praying to this saint, or rubbing on these beads, or doing that. People are looking, but they've not allowed God to unveil the mystery. What is the mystery? A man must be born again. It is God's will, He says in the Word. I'm not willing that any should perish, but all should come into the knowledge of repentance. That's why we have church. That's why we're raising you up in your own ministry. I wrote this down. This might help you. Let me find it here in all these notes. Here's the mystery, the will of God. Everybody say the will of God. To be born again. To be born again. And you know, you can't understand the new birth on the wrong side of it. Well, once I understand all that, I might do that. Well, you never will. You say, why? Because it's by faith. Every one of you that are really saved, you got saved by faith, because the Bible says, for by grace you are saved through faith, not of your own works. It is the gift of God, lest any man or woman should boast. Ain't nothing you can do. I'm not up here trying to earn salvation by obeying God and being a pastor. I'm not doing that. I'm up here obeying God and being a pastor because of what He has already done and because the mystery has been removed. Amen. Now, notice this. It's the will of God for you to be born again. Secondly, it's the will of God for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Two separate experiences. We're studying that on Wednesday night about the Spirit of God. The Spirit that abides through the new birth, abides in your spirit. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you. You say, I wish I could feel it. It'd kill you. You say, why? Because your body's unholy and your mind's unholy. And when holiness and righteousness butt up against iniquity and sin, it's not holiness and righteousness that gives. Amen. So, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, that is the will of God. Where are my amens? Where are my amens? That is the will of God for your life. To be water baptized and to enjoy fellowship through communion. That's the will of God for all of us. Amen. To be a part. Now, listen to this. This is how the Holy Ghost said it to me. Because I was looking for another word. To be a part of His culture. Part of that is church. Part of that is church. But to be a part of the kingdom culture on the earth. We draw so much of our culture from negative things. We ought to draw our culture from the kingdom of God in which we're a part of. Amen. Now this is the will of God for all of us. Amen. To be a part of His culture. To read. To study. To meditate. And have taught to you the Word of God. Amen. To pray. Both personally and corporately, and to grow spiritually. That's the will of God for you. Amen? To work in, for, and through, let me find it here, the kingdom of God, amen, through the kingdom of God, to live by faith, amen, to love, it's the will of God for you to love, it's the will of God for you to prosper. It's the will of God for you to be in health. Oh, somebody ought to be getting excited. The government doesn't promise you this, but God does. It is the will of God for you to evangelize and to develop your ministry, and that is the ministry of reconciliation that God has given every believer. You're called to forgive, and you're called to forget. You should not be able to remember what you have forgiven because you have forgotten what you have forgiven. What were we talking about last night? Saturation, marinate, and pickle. Yeah. Christopher Ollam was telling us about a church where they fall out in the power and some of them, they saturate, they marinate, and then they get pickled. Well, you know, we need to get pickled, and we need to forget it. Because anything that you don't forget, you don't forgive. Anything you don't forget, you don't forgive. And sometimes the words I remember are not words of blessing. Amen. Your life has been caught up in the influence of three different wills. Think about that for a minute. Your life has been caught up within the influence of three different wills. The will of God, your personal will, and the will of the adversary or Satan. You know, here's the thing about the devil. He may plan an attack against you. Trouble, a trial, some kind of temptation. But God has already scheduled your deliverance. And not only that, if necessary, if you need recovery, He's already scheduled your recovery. You know, the Bible says with God, nothing is impossible. No matter what you look at or what you see with the natural eye, God doesn't see it that way. God sees it through the light of who He is and what He can do. He's just looking for somebody to believe it. God can do anything. Amen. So we must understand all these different things that are influencing us. When you lean toward the will of God or lean upon, that's what it says in the book of Proverbs, my son, attend to my word, incline thine ear into it, saying, let it not depart from thine eyes, keep it in the midst of thy heart, for it is life to those that find it, and it's also a promise of what? Health to all your flesh. Amen. That's the will of God. Everybody say the will of God. Now, go if you will to Romans. Now, I sometimes God speaks to me to do certain things, and then as I'm doing it, he begins to clarify the whys and the wheres and all this kind of stuff. But church, we're fixing to enter into some choppy waters here. Rough waters. The Bible speaks of the sea in the last days raging. The sea is always indicative of people, of humanity, the mass of humanity. They're already telegraphing things from both political campaigns that are just incredibly destructive. The rhetoric in the world. I was listening to a newscast, when was it, Friday or Saturday? And so this guy was talking about all of the strikes we've made against these strikes that were made against us. 160 different attacks on American military. We lost 3 soldiers. We had 40-something wounded. So this guy asked this guy a question. You think we're at war? Are you crazy? My goodness, we're at war in the Middle East. We're at war in Ukraine. Actually, we're in war at 17 different areas in the world. We're at war right now. Well, listen, war is not the will of God. Revival is the will of God. So you see even now the devil raising up. Why is he so threatened? Why is he, listen, why is he raging like it is? Why is the sea of humanity coming into a, to a, it's because he knows, for me, it's almost up. If the church leaves, I've got 7 years. No wonder the tribulation is going to be so horrible and a third of the people will be killed. You don't want to be here. I said, you don't want to be here. But you're going to have to be seeking Him, looking for Him, watching and praying. The Bible says you're going to have to really be serving God on a level in which God counts you worthy to escape that which is coming upon the earth. Romans chapter 8. No. Before you go to chapter 8, go to chapter 12. Real quick, chapter 12. Very familiar scripture. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Everybody say the mercies of God. Now, let me say this, and I don't want to go into another teaching, but God said this to me in prayer, and I have to develop it and work it out. But for a lot of people here, when I say a lot of people, relegate it to you guys, to the church, for a lot of you guys, the only thing you've ever experienced of God is His mercy. And God does not want that. He gives you His mercy to get you out of what you get yourself into. But God wants you to discover His grace. He wants you to know His compassion. He wants you to know His love. He wants you to know His fellowship with you. Amen? I mean, I've been coming to the church a lot and just praying other than our regular prayer time. And I've been just, I'll get in there and I'll try to pray over the church and pray over our missionaries and pray over our media outreach that we're launching, some other things that I'm praying about that I want to do. This is going to be my 40th anniversary of ministry. I want to celebrate that this year. Amen. And so there's a lot that I'm wanting to do, a lot of vision that's working on the inside of me. But I get back there and God don't want to hear it. He don't want to hear none of that. He don't want to hear none of it. You know what He wants to hear? I love you, Father. I worship you, Lord. Because see, that draws you, that pulls you into His heart. He can deal with all that other stuff if He's got your attention. And one of the ways He gets your attention is through worship and praise. When you take time, you say, you know, Lord, I got all these problems. I got church problems. I got problems at the house. I got problems in the business. I got this. But you know what I'm going to do, Lord? I'm going to come over here and I'm going to spend this next 30 minutes. I'm not praying about none of that. I'm going to fellowship with you. I want to feel your heartbeat and my beat. I want to sense your presence. I want to know you like Paul said at the end of his life, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Amen? Literally, that's literally what you've got to begin to do, is to press into that, into the heart of God. And you'll find out all these other peripheral things kind of just start being taken care of. You say, why? Because it's your fellowship. Now notice this. Here is our, you would say, Pastor Rusty, do you have any scripture for me? I just got saved. What should I do? Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Now notice, present your body. I never understood that. Where do you present your body? A living sacrifice. Do you know? That's where you are right now. You are presenting your body. Did you know you're obeying the Word of God? When you come to church, you present your body to God. You've come into a corporate setting. You've joined with other believers like Precious Faith. You are presenting yourself. You are here and present. I said you are here and present. And you know what you brought with you? Does anybody know? You brought your body with you. So you've presented yourself in the house of God this morning. Now notice this. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Second thing, be transformed by the renewing of, that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now listen, there's not three choices. People say, I'm really busy, so I don't have time for the acceptable and perfect, so I'm going to go for the good. No. The will of God for you is good for you. I didn't think that when I first came back to the Lord. He didn't forget about calling me to preach. He didn't forget it. Gifts and callings of God were without repentance. But I didn't want to go preach. I was back to the Lord, free from drugs. I wanted to go rodeo. Amen? But my heart was not in it because I had given my heart to Him. And He made supernatural adjustments in my life, got me into Bible school, got me into ministry. Amen? You say, why? That was the will of God. Now, that was good for me. And, I mean, I went to Bible school, struggled till finally I got some faith and did okay, went into the ministry, met Leah, got married. I began to say, you know, I can accept this. I can accept this. I can accept this. And then, you know, a few years later, we found out, this is just perfect. This is just awesome. And it's amazing how God takes what He perfects in your life, and then He gives you another chapter of life to perfect something else. Hallelujah. Amen. But the will of God for you, it's good. You say, everything in my life is bad. You're not in the will of God. I'm not saying we don't have struggles, church. We have struggles. We have fights. We have pain. We have need of recovery. The Bible says in Galatians 6:1, if a brother or sister be found in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, lest the same thing come upon you. If you're in trouble, it's the will of God for you to be restored. But you're going to need God to do it. So that's the will of God. Everybody say the will of God. So the will of God for you is to what? Present your body, renew your mind. Now go to Romans chapter 8. Now this is something we've taught. And I tell you, I like killing sacred cows. Because a sacred cow won't get you nothing in the kingdom. So we lift one scripture out of this scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. That sounds like the will of God to me. So he's talking about people in the will of God. So people quote this scripture no matter what happens. Oh, it don't matter. You break your leg, all things work together. That's not what it's talking about. Now go back up into the scripture. Look at this. This is amazing. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit, capital S, also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Let me try that again. According to the will of God. Now, I don't have time to go through all the Greek and everything that's in this scripture, but this talks about being baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues. men and women that get filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues and pray in the Spirit and pray in the Holy Ghost, they are always praying into the will of God. That's why praying in the Spirit is so important. Because as you enter into the will of God and you get on that path of righteousness, if something negative happens to you, God says, don't worry about it. You've already prayed that thing out. All things are going to work together for your good. That's not a blanket promise to everybody that gets saved. That is a promise to those who are doing what? Doing the will of God. Getting born again. Getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Coming to the church. Seeking the will of God for their life. Doing everything they can do to seek Him. God says, listen, pray. Pray in other tongues. Pray in the Spirit. Let those groanings, let them come up out of you. Let them groan. Let it come up out of you. And no matter what happens, you know all things. That's a scripture came to me. I was standing in a closet with Leah in my arms. And our church had been destroyed. And our home had been destroyed. And we were pretty destroyed. And as I held her, we were both just weeping. That scripture popped into my spirit. And I thought to myself, I pray in the Holy Ghost every day. This is going to work together for our good. And I looked her in her big blue eyes and I said, honey, God will give us a miracle. And that's exactly what He did. He did exactly that. You say, why did He do it? It was His will to do it. He willed to do it. Amen? So you've got to understand, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost is the one thing you could do. I'm amazed. And you know, you could... Some of these pastors that I preach for that come and preach, you ought to ask them sometime how I used to go to their churches and preach messages to them. And they would be like, how did you get that? Why did you preach that? Because it would address something in their church, something in the ministry, something that was going on that might have been dark was uncovered. And they would say, how did you know to do that? And I would always come right back here to Romans chapter 8. I said, I was praying in the Holy Ghost. I have no idea what's going on in your church. I don't know none of your people. I don't know what's going on. I have no idea. Oh, let me do that. Okay, Lord. This might help some of you with me. I would love to be a whole lot more social than I am. Because I like people. I really do. And most pastors should be much more social than I am. But the reason that I'm not is because of the prophetic influence in me that if I know you too well, I can't help you. If I know you too well, I can't help you. And if you know me too well, I can't help you. You say, where did you learn that? From being around people anointed by the Holy Ghost who did not have the liberty to just be with everybody all the time in fellowship, because the Holy Ghost may want to say something to me that will radically change your life because you know it was God because He said it to me. And if I miss that, I may miss helping you stay on that path of righteousness. But I love people. People are our purpose. And I don't ever mean to be, you know, standoffish or to seem unsocial like that. It's part of guarding the gift of God in me and doing my best to help you. Amen? Because see, I can be influenced by, I've had people run up to me, this has happened to me, hadn't happened here at the church often, maybe in 22 years, maybe two or three times. But it's happened to me traveling several times. And I got to the point where I asked the pastors not to tell me anymore, but I'd come in and they'd say, hey, Pastor Rusty, you know, we've got this going on, that going on, and the Holy Ghost had already told me. And I'd say, wait. And I'd say, now He told me this and this, and then He'd say, how'd you know that? I'd been praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's happened to me a couple of times here at church where somebody come, Pastor Rusty, I mean, the exact person that God would show me in prayer to minister to in that service, coming through the door, they'd come up to me and say, Pastor Rusty, I got something you really need to pray about, blah, 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 blah. And I already knew it. So that takes the element of the supernatural out of there. So I inconvenience myself a little bit by not being so social, and you inconvenience yourself a little bit by not having such a social pastor. But wouldn't you rather have a spiritual one than a social one? I mean, I'm not antisocial. I eat with every. How many have ever been sat and ate a meal with me? Well, that's a few. I'll do better in the future, amen. We used to have banquets. Everybody could raise their hand, amen. But I love you, and I want God's best for you. And I know what it's like because I preached in a lot of churches where there was no really spiritual influence whatsoever, and they were just kind of lost. But listen, the Holy Ghost speaks to us around here, and He speaks to me. And I borderline a ministry office that scares the fire out of me, so, you know, I just have to live with that and be the person that God's called me to be within the confines of His will for my life. And let me say this in closing. If I would not have obeyed God 40 years ago, I would not be alive today. There's no way. Physically, I could not have lived. God's healed me of several things that were unique to a lifestyle that I lived and preserved and saved my life. And so I owe Him everything. And I'm glad to owe it to Him. You say, why? Because He's a faithful God. Listen, as we continue down this road teaching on the will of God, two things. Pray in the Spirit. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Spirit. If you're not, come on Wednesday night, we're going to talk about the Spirit of God empowering us. We've been talking about it abiding. We're going to talk about it empowering us. Secondly, seek God. I found this out. If I try to find out the particulars of the path, you know what I mean? The particulars of the path, I never get it. But if I seek Him, He knows when I need to know the particulars of the path. Understand? As long as you're in, because so much can distract you. The walk of God, the different things. You can make a law or become legalistic over anything. I mean, prayer, your prayer life, your discipline many times can help you greatly to come out of the things that undiscipline has put in your life. But many times, discipline, the enemy will use it as a hook that if you miss part of your routine, he brings condemnation to you. Well, you didn't make it to prayer Thursday night. You're going to live in hell all next week. That's a lie. You may have had to work. You may have had to do something else. You may have been tired. You may have been fighting symptoms. But here's the thing. You ain't got off the path. You haven't taken an exit. Come on, church. You haven't taken an exit. And many of you right now have just realized you're on that path. It may be just one foot, but you can get the other foot back on. And there may be a bunch of weeds growing around. That's okay. God can show you how to just take one step in front of the other, in front of the other. And some of you need to quit walking so fast and slow down a little bit. Slow your life down a little bit. Lord. If you were to come to me in a crisis of life, say, Pastor, we've been diagnosed with this disease. We're going into this bankruptcy. Our marriage is going into the divorce court. First thing I'd tell you is this. Slow your life down. Slow down. You move too fast. Because you'll find out something about God. He runs on two speeds. I've never taught y'all this, have I? Y'all know the two speeds of God? Slow and slower. So if you're running 90 miles an hour, and he's down there just struggling. Now let me say this, and I promise this in my closing. You get out in front of God, you get yourself into something not even God can get you out of. You stay behind. This is where I live. I don't try to walk with Him. I walk a little bit behind Him. You say, why? Because I'm always right there, and if I need to catch up, it's just one step. It's just one step. So I stay right there in His shadow. See, that's where you walk. He abides under the shadow. You can't be next to somebody or out in front of them. You got to be behind them. That's where the shadow gets you. So I'm in that shadow. But He's never told me to take a step back. I've had some times making a step. But He never tells me to take a step back. You've been called for such a time as this. A new season is breaking out upon the planet. And it's not a good one. In the midst of that, a new season is going to break out in the church. Amen. I believe all this strange rain that we're getting in January is what we've been praying for in the Spirit. The Bible says, pray for the rain, for the latter and the former rain in the same time. I believe what we're seeing in the natural is what also is happening in the Spirit, that God's beginning to send the spiritual rain. But what does rain do? Well, in the positive, it waters the seed. In the negative, it causes floods and droughts. But in the positive, it waters the seed. So when it rains, don't go out and look for your plants to be up bearing fruit. Thank God that it's raining on your seed. Now your dreams are growing. Come on, church. Now your desires are growing. Now the blessing is growing. Now the goodness is growing. Why? It's raining on our fields. God is so good. Lift your hands up and worship Him. Father, we worship You this morning. Oh, for Your goodness, Your blessing, Your grace. Oh, Your mighty mercy. Help us to know more and more of Your compassion, to know more and more of Your grace, to know more and more of Your kindness. Wow, You're so good to us, Lord. 22 years. Thank You for all You've done. Forgive us for where you had to correct, adjust, do what You needed to do to keep us right where You want us to be. And I thank You, Father, that's where we are. We've not gotten out in front. We've not lagged behind. But Father, we've done everything we can do to convince this community and everywhere else in the world You've sent us to convince people of the love, compassion, and blessing of a mighty God that cares for them. Lord, I pray today if there's anyone here who doesn't know You as Lord and Savior, Lord, that You would just extend Your love to them. Anyone here who does not, who's just gotten away from You, gotten prodigal in their heart and their mind, thank You, Father, You restore them this morning. With nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, Pastor, I'm not living right. I'm not doing right. Please pray with me that I might be right with God. Or if you were to say, Pastor, I've never been born again, please pray with me that I might be born again. We would do that. Anyone at all need prayer? Raise your hand up high. Let me see it. Wave it. One over there. Anyone else? Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Let's all pray. One person raise their hand. Father, everybody say this out loud. Father, thank You for heaven. Thank You for the Bible. Thank You for church. But thank You most of all for Jesus Christ. I confess Him this morning as my Lord, my Savior, my strength, and I confess Him as my future. Thank You, Jesus. You're in my past, healing my hurts. You're in my present, strengthening me and keeping me. And You're in my future, preparing a place for me. I'm so thankful. Help me, Lord, by Your Spirit, who is my helper, to repent and turn from anything that does not please You. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, my strength and my Redeemer. Thank You, Father, as I am here, first Sunday in February, 22nd anniversary of Island Church, I'm born again, right with God. My sins are forgiven. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand on your feet. Thank You, Father, for our service today. Lord, as we go forth into the week, we declare protection, safety, and blessing. We do abide under the shadow of the Most High. Thank You, Father, for the path of righteousness You put our feet on. So we declare, no evil befalls us. No plague comes nigh us. Angels have charge over us. In our travels on the highways, airways, seaways, or railways, the righteous labor of our hands, our students, our teachers, our contractors, everyone that works in the workforce, all of our business owners, we declare protected, blessed, increased, and favored. Thank You, Lord, as we leave today. You stir a heart of evangelism on the inside of us. We are ministers of reconciliation. Allow us to be an answer to people's prayer, a problem to the devil, and a miracle in someone's life. Lord, we leave today walking in faith and love towards You. We love You so much. We walk in love one toward another. Thank You for our church. We leave as the ambassadors of Christ You've called us to be. Thanking You, Lord, here at Island Church, we're covered by the blood and anointed by the Holy Ghost. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com. Hallelujah, Jesus.